I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Our Man in Cannes with me, Jake Cunningham, and the Director of Programme for Curzon, Damos Banley.
Hey, Jake.
Right, so we're catching up on what we've been watching over the weekend here at Cannes, as well as what we're looking forward to for the remaining few days. As we left, we'd just caught up on Cold War. And I think the thing that you've really picked up on over the weekend, or your highlight maybe, Damo, is Girl. Is that right?
Yeah, Girl was one of the most impactful films that I've seen so far this week. It was, really a very intense experience.
So if you haven't listened to our first episode, do go back into it for Our Man in Cannes episode one to get a better idea of what it is Damo does exactly for Curzon and why we're here. But along with Girl, going to be talking about Diamantino and Deborah Granik's Leave No Trace, all of which I've seen and really, really love. But talking about Girl, it's up for Uncertain Regard and Camera Door, and it's just your average 26-year-old filmmaker who just gets into Cannes with that.
Yeah, it's incredible when he came on stage, this young filmmaker. He's very young looking, 26, I can tell you. And I was just astonished to see him before the film. And I mean, what a talent. I mean, you hear a lot of talk in Cannes about how films go down with audiences. You know, there was a famous Brown Bunny screening where you couldn't hear the film for the noise of the swinging doors at the back as everybody left. And, you know, the boos for Okja last year, very unfairly, because it was a Netflix title. And the response at the end of this film, especially given how, well, it's quite a harrowing movie, was absolutely incredible. I mean, basically people were on their feet and screaming, and it's, you know, and it's just one of those wonderful Cannes moments, really. And it's a Flemish movie. It's the story of a 15-year-old girl, going through that sort of arduous training that ballerinas have to go to. But the difference is that Lara is played by a boy, Victor Polster, and she is a pre-op transsexual. And for a boy to pull off that role, both physically and emotionally, and I haven't read up yet, but I've heard that it's the first time that Victor has ever acted, and that the film is full of first-time actors and professionals.
Well, and I think it's a tough thing to audition for and to find the right person for. And I read that there was genderless auditions for it as well.
Oh, really?
So it was really open to everyone, and so they knew exactly who was the right person, regardless of gender, for this role, because of who it could be played by.
Yeah, well, I mean, I watched the first, there's a short period at the beginning of the movie before you, trying to figure out that actually this is actually physically a boy. And I would have had absolutely no idea. It was absolutely incredible. Such a performance of great courage. And be astonished if it doesn't actually win the award. It's in the Uncertain Regard, which is one of the smaller sections of the festival. And I would be surprised if Lucas, young Lucas, doesn't pick up that award at the end of the festival.
Yeah, sounds like maybe some acting awards there as well.
Absolutely, yeah, particularly for Victor Polster.
Yeah, and so whilst you were up at the high end of the festival watching Girl, I was enjoying Diamantino, which is a film which, as I mentioned it to you a few moments ago, you did have to check with me that it did exist.
I thought you were just making it up.
And so this is about a Portuguese footballer, when he's playing football, just to help him through the game, to him, the pitch looks like it's covered in candy floss, and the only other things on the pitch are absolutely enormous giant puppies. And then he crumbles with a penalty in the World Cup final, and his life goes into disarray. He gets weaved into a government conspiracy of Portugal trying to exit the EU, and he becomes the poster boy for it by accident. He's nice but dim, but not...
This is where the Ronaldo comparison comes in.
And he's got the two diamond earrings, and he decides that he wants to adopt someone to make up for the emptiness in his life. At times it's a farce, but he's so sweet. It's actually got some real emotion in it, and you're not going to see anything else like it in the festival. I'm not sure where it's going to end up. I'm not quite sure what you could do with it. Maybe it'll find an audience just because there is the World Cup coming out, but that might be a bit too soon for anyone really to figure anything out with it. But I do hope people do find it.
Well, I know that we put it on our list. I mean, what an extraordinary pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Credit to the filmmaker as well to be able to walk into a production company and say, right, I want multi-million euros for this. But excellent.
So is it CGI candy floss?
Yeah. So it's
fantastic.
But it actually treats football really nicely. It kind of is overly romantic about it, but not in a ludicrous way. And it's nice that maybe in the Cannes audiences, there's not a lot of football crossover a lot of the time.
Football is always a tricky one, particularly for art house audiences. Mm. And I still think that Escape to Victory is the best ever football movie ever made.
Right, and so what else have you been catching up on the weekend?
I think that for me over the last few days, some of the smaller movies, perhaps the ones that, you know, really make Cannes what it is, you know, this sort of exploration of the weird and the wonderful from all over the world, have come to the fore for me. There was a film called Border, which I really enjoyed. It's a Nordic co-production, an art house movie, but with very strong genre connections. It's really out there. It's a sort of cross between a sort of woodland fairy tale romance and body horror. And it has a twist in it. It's quite difficult to avoid when you're pitching the movie. But it starts with this sort of very unusual looking woman. She's, you know, very sort of, she has a sort of like all slight Avatar-esque features. Mm. And she's a customs officer who can literally sniff out offenders.
Wow.
And they come down the corridor and she's, and, you know, I mean, it was one scene where she basically pulls this man in, and then eventually she smells his phone and there's child pornography on it. So she has this wonderful talent. She also has this ability to sort of attract animals in the wood where she lives, and she'll just be on a walk, and you know, a stag will come and walk along with her. It's really odd, really odd tone to it. And eventually she meets somebody who has some similar features to her, a potential offender in her job, and she's drawn and attracted to him and starts to question why she has these talents and question her origins, which takes you down this really creepy route. I mean, it's really out there. It's quite a difficult sort of commercial risk, but it's, you know, I just love that movie. I mean, it's obviously it's quite a, you know, the mind that's come up with this idea for that movie. Yeah. It's and it's getting quite a little bit of buzz just amongst sort of, you know, horror fans around the festival.
Yeah, I think I've seen a few stills from it as well that have been going around. It looks like there's some really cracking imagery that people are going to be able to lift stuff from.
Yeah, and there's a sex scene that is like a sort of gross out sex scene, which which yeah, really shook up everybody in the cinema. I was sat next to a friend, and I thought I nearly put my hand on his knee to see just to see what kind of reaction I got. But I thought better off it.
Oh, wow. So probably the wildest time that I've had has been the Nicolas Cage film Mandy.
Oh, I really want to see that, actually. I've heard great things.
It was coming at the end of the day, and maybe in the first 40 minutes, I was drifting in and out of it, and I wasn't too into it. An event happens that basically kicks off, after that point, an hour of Cage revenge. But beautifully photographed Cage revenge, and really inventive. It's coming from Hammer horror perspective, but really
bit of Gallo in there as well.
Yeah, and lovely title design, lovely world design. At times you think, I don't know how anyone's getting away with using Cage in the way that he should be in, like, his super mad performance, and really leaning into that, but putting so much effort into the craft as well, and not just making something cheap from that, but still using him in such a B-movie way. I got really into it, and it's maybe a little on the long side, and maybe it is just trying immediately to get cult status before earning it, which can sometimes be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, like Brawl in Cell Block 99 last year, which I really enjoyed at Toronto, and but it did get a release, and it actually Universal released Brawl, and I believe they have Mandy as well, so it should be come to the UK at some point. It'd be interesting to see how they release it. And
yeah, and I think it's one that people will really want to see in a cinema as well, like a midnight screening of that kind of thing would go down really well. And the last thing that I've seen has been Deborah Granik's Leave No Trace, which has really been a big highlight. I absolutely love this. It's going to draw up a lot of comparisons to Captain Fantastic. And you mentioned about in Border living in the woods, and we've got that again here with a father and his daughter living in a national park in America. And it doesn't go for more of it's. I think Captain Fantastic is more of a twee film. It's maybe if Wes Anderson was making Leave No Trace is what that film would be. And Leave No Trace doesn't go for any of the fish out of water stuff that film did. You don't have the daughter going into town and saying, like, what is Coca-Cola? And like that. They know that the real world exists, but they're very happy to be in the woods and fending for themselves. And I think it goes into a bit more depth about what it is that might draw a person to choose to live in the woods and isolate themselves. And I think there's some backstory there that's never really properly delved into, same way that You Were Never Really Here does as well.
Yeah,
you just know that there is some trauma there, there's some unresolved stuff, and it doesn't immediately just try and say that getting a balance between nature and civilization is going to solve all your problems. It's got a real open heart for both the characters, the daughter and the father.
I'm really looking forward to it. And actually, and we talked in the last podcast about how long it takes some of these films to come to release in the UK, but Sony are releasing Leave No Trace, and we'll be playing it in Curzon Cinemas on the 29th of June. And it's the director, Deborah Granik, was well known already to Curzon audiences for Winter's Bone, which was the film that launched Jennifer Lawrence's career. It was so I'm very much looking to see it for that reason.
Yeah. I think it's really wonderful. There's a kind of final moment of realization between the two characters in the last 10 minutes, which completely sold it to me. It was one of those strange feelings of not being entirely sure about what the film is, but then having one scene that then lets you fall in love with the whole thing at once.
One of the things that we're guilty of here in Cannes is leaving films early to catch the beginning of other movies. So this is one I should stay to the end.
Definitely. All right. So that's wrapping up what we've seen for the next few days. What's your most anticipated?
Well, you've already mentioned a couple I plan to see, which is Mandy and Leave No Trace. There's also, I think I mentioned in the last podcast that I'm still yet to see it, but the Lars von Trier.
Oh, yeah. Which we're really getting into the big names now. I think tonight is Spike Lee. Tomorrow morning's Lars von Trier.
Yeah, so. Black Klansman's on my list as well. I have a ticket for it already. So that's going to be an interesting one. I mean, I'm going home on Wednesday, so I'll miss a few of the big ones. And last year, because it was played at the end of the festival, I unfortunately missed You Were Never Really Here, which went down very well, as you can imagine. So there's still plenty to see. The David Robert Mitchell. There's going to be a screening of Solo, A Star Wars Story, although I may wait to watch that with the missus back in London. There's also a small Polish movie called Fugue, which I'm hearing some good things about, which I'll try and catch as well in the next couple of days.
Brilliant. Well, we'll be back for the third and final episode of Our Man in Cannes at the end of the week, catching up on some of those final films. Until then, thank you for joining us, Damo.
You're welcome.
See you next time.